Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers. Go to jameshbrown.com.
Well, the Blue Jackets have rallied to tie it up with the Capitals 5-5 with 5.5 minutes left in the third. Ovechkin scored in the first period, his 40th of the season. So he surpasses Wayne Gretzky for the most 40-goal seasons ever. Ovechkin has 13, Gretzky 12. Can also tell you, Hurricanes and Rangers 2-2 late in the third. Flyers leading the Panthers 5-3 with 2.5 to go. Wild and Devils are now in overtime. Timo Meier tied it up for the Devils, 12-08 into the third, his 35th of the season. The Predators hammer the Sabres tonight. 7-3 is the final there. 3.5 minutes left in Boston. Bruins leading Ottawa 2-1. The Canadiens upend the Lightning 3-2. Islanders lead the Maple Leafs 3-2 early in the third. Late second period, Jets now up 2-1 on the Coyotes. Blues and Red Wings 2-2 in the second. Start of the second period, Seattle leading Dallas 3-1. McCann has his 34th. He's had a great season. Still coming up in half an hour, Flames at Ducks, Golden Knights at Canucks. Oilers, Coyotes tomorrow on 6:30 Ched. Face-off show at 7 after a one-hour edition of Inside Sports. And the game, well, it says 8:30 on the schedules. It's really going to start more around, I think, 8:52, 8:50-ish. Pretty late one tomorrow as the Oilers take on the Coyotes. Oilers looking for their fifth consecutive victory. Okay, really cool story here. I am pleased to welcome back to Inside Sports. He's now an offensive lineman with the Montreal Alouettes, but of course he won the Grey Cup in November with the Toronto Argonauts. It is Justin Lawrence checking in. Hey, Justin, how are you?
Hey, Reid, how's it going?
I'm doing great. I want to throw it at you here. I was just talking about the Oilers game. Oddest start time you could remember as a pro or high school or college, either like, why are we playing so early in the day or why are we kicking off so late at night?
So I'll give you a good story. Not necessarily me playing, but I had a great experience of coaching this off season where I was coaching a selects program for the U of A Bears down in Texas, actually. And I believe we had a game at 8 a.m., the first game of the day for the kids. And I just remember showing up to that and be like, I don't know who in their right mind wants to play a game at 8 a.m. For me personally, one of the coolest experiences too was I remember going down to Team Canada in high school in Texas, and we actually played our football games down in Kuwait. And I'm pretty sure we played our games around midnight to 1 a.m. in the morning just to get away from the heat. So I've had a couple cool experiences where I'm just like, you know, what are we doing right now playing at this time?
Well, but you're right. I mean, that's why they had the World Cup in Qatar in December, right? Because of the summer heat. So I guess you wouldn't want to be kicking off at 1 p.m. or something like that, and you can't move by halfway through the first quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, here's a question for you, Justin. How was your weekend? Did you do anything interesting?
Pretty normal weekend, you know. Just kidding. It was an incredible weekend. Had the pleasure of bringing the Grey Cup home this weekend. I flew out to Toronto on Thursday first thing in the morning, and then flew back that night, and then, you know, had a pretty jam-packed weekend. So I got off to a lot of stuff. The first day I had it on the Friday, I took it to all three of my schools I went to in Spruce Grove. So my elementary school, Brookwood, my middle school, Greystone, and then my high school, the Spruce Grove Comp. And then, you know, went to a couple community teams around the area, and then did a massive fundraiser the Friday night at the Spruce Grove Brew House for a program called the Connection and Compassion Community Foundation, which is like a local at-risk youth group ran by some amazing ladies who I got to meet. They're actually out of Spruce Grove, and it was an incredible event. We raised around $6,000 for them. Which was, you know, beyond awesome. And Spruce Grove Brew House did a great job of matching whatever we, you know, got that night. And then Saturday kind of was a little bit more laid back, but went and visited my grandparents at their place in Leduc. It's a 55-plus building, so got to go meet a lot of their friends and families around that area. And then visited a local brewery in Spruce Grove called Ravenport. Got to meet the awesome owners there. One of the ladies is actually a city councilor in Spruce Grove. Unbelievable people, great place to be. So they gave us some great hospitality. And then Saturday night was a little bit of a tour of downtown Edmonton, which luckily the Grey Cup survived. A lot of people got to, you know, check it out and have a great experience with it. And then Sunday, we, you know, shot a little interview with my family. I had the pleasure of working with a great crew this weekend. Red from Rad Films, he kind of videoed most of Friday and, you know, kind of got to, like, get a little bit of an insight of, you know, my story and get to meet my family and stuff like that. And then a good buddy of mine, Peya from Medvedev Media, he shot everything, got me some great pictures, you know, some good memories for my family with the Cup. And so, you know, we did that and then got to visit the U of A Bears Academy from 1:30 to 2. 2:30 to see some of the players who are in the academy, the, you know, younger guys, like kids who are in high school, you know, kind of give back to, you know, a program. Not only did I play for the U of A, but, you know, I was in the academy in a lot of the camps growing up too as a kid. So that was really special. And then took him to a local restaurant in Stony Plain where I got to hang with a lot of close friends and family, come out and, you know, chat with them and hang with them. And then Monday, to kind of wrap it all up, went to a school in Edmonton called Earl Buxton, did a presentation with the kids there. They were amazing. And then, you know, spent pretty much the grand majority of the afternoon going to the Alberta Stollery Children's Hospital. Spent about 4 hours there, you know, kind of going around the different sections, you know. And if kids were up for it, they, you know, went and took the Grey Cup to them. They got to check it out, get pictures with it, gave them some signed cards and stuff. And then, you know, topped it off with city council, you know, giving me the pleasure of going there and getting recognized by them and, you know, giving them a jersey and stuff like that. And I'm telling you, it was just a very incredible weekend, a very long weekend, but I'm forever thankful for it.
Okay, well, that does sound absolutely incredible that you crammed all that in and you shared the Grey Cup and your success with so many people who helped you get there. And when you're out in public, and as you said, the Cup got a bit of an outing in downtown Edmonton, what's the reaction when somebody sees the Grey Cup? And, you know, you obviously probably mingled with some people who are fans and didn't even think they'd be at an establishment to see the Grey Cup. What kind of reaction do you get?
So the two majority of reactions I got was either, is that the Stanley Cup or is that that's not the real Grey Cup, is it? Honestly, I thought it was hilarious every time. I'm like, for the people who called it the Stanley Cup, I'm like, well, it's kind of the Stanley Cup. It's just the Canadian football version of it. And then the other people, I'm like, no, this isn't no duplicate of the Grey Cup. I was like, this is the real thing. So,
now, are you in the Cup supervised? I know the Stanley Cup has a Cup keeper. Is there somebody hovering the entire time just to make sure, or what's the protocol?
So the Cup keeper was myself and my family. I'm going to tell you right now, Reed, the beautiful thing about CFL and the Grey Cup is I call the Grey Cup the people's trophy, because unlike any of the other trophies, you know, I got to take it around and, you know, people got to grab it, hold it and throw it above their head and, you know, have a good time with it. And that's, you know, one of the really special things about the CFL is, like I said, it's the people's cup and it's the people's games, because it's so easy for the fans to be able to relate, and, you know, for us to be able to take it anywhere we want and share with everyone is so awesome without any kind of restrictions, right?
Justin Lawrence joining us tonight from the Montreal Alouettes, a 2022 Grey Cup champ with the Argos, and he was telling you, being in his hometown of Spruce Grove and area with the Cup here over the last few days. Now, I believe, you correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, and I should be more sure of myself here because you and I have talked several times, but I believe with Calgary in 2018, you were on the practice roster for the actual Grey Cup. So did you get a weekend with the Cup after the 18 championship?
No, so you're right 100%. I was on the practice roster for 2018, but I never got a chance to get the Cup back to my hometown that time around. So I'm sure the guy who was managing the Grey Cup out in Toronto kind of got sick of me because I was bugging the heck out of him to get it out here. But I, like I said, it's such a special moment that I was like, I was doing everything I could to make sure it got out here.
Okay, well, thanks for telling that story, and I'm glad you had such a great experience with it. Look, I got to ask you a couple more serious questions, so forgive me. You made the decision to change teams through free agency, and you've signed with Montreal.
Yeah.
I have to ask, though, because Montreal's had a little bit of financial slash ownership instability here. Did that factor at all into your decision about going to the Alouettes? Like, how did you finally land on them?
So, honestly, it was a combination of things on why I ended up signing with Montreal. At the end of the day, like, everything that was going on with the ownership of the Montreal Alouettes, I really wasn't too concerned with it. I had a great talk with my agent, who's actually out of Montreal. And, you know, at the end of the day, whether they found an owner, which thankfully they did, and I think it puts the team in a great situation, or if it was operated by the CFL itself, the team was in a good spot, and all the fundings and all that kind of stuff was still going to be in place. So I think the media really made the situation worse than it actually was. So, you know, going into free agency and all that, I never really took much of that into account. But, you know, I was just absolutely excited about the, you know, the opportunity, not only for me, but the team in Montreal. You know, I think it's going to be an amazing fit. And I, you know, had the opportunity of having a chat with Jason Moss, the head coach there now, who most people around this area know is, an Edmonton legend. So I had a great conversation with him, and, you know, the beautiful thing about this game is everyone kind of knows everyone. And, you know, Chris Morris, my university head coach, Tim Princeton, who was my O-line coach at University of Alberta, played with that guy. So, you know, hearing the words they had to say about him and, you know, just giving me that positive feedback on him, it was really a no-brainer for me to, you know, end up there. And I'm really excited about the opportunities there. And I think, you know, just like we did in Toronto in 2022, I think we have a very special opportunity to do some great things this season.
All right. Well, all the best there, except when you're playing the Elks, of course. I always say that.
The nice thing is it's only once this season.
Oh, right, because it's not a full double schedule anymore. Two meetings, yeah, so you only play them once. I'm sure you're fully back into training and all that kind of stuff because, you know, things get going here in May. What you've been watching Oilers? What have you been doing otherwise when you got some downtime?
Yeah, I've just been, like you said, I've been training, getting ready for the season, and then I kind of mentioned a bit, like I did a coaching tournament out in Texas, which was a little bit like I've always kind of coached, but to actually coach a full team and, you know, do that full time was really fun for me. Just spending time with my family. I've been also working for a nonprofit organization called The Voice, which basically we do like cater programs at school where we go in and, you know, talk to kids and, you know, just talk about the daily problems that they're going through and, you know, my face throughout their, you know, young lives as they grow up. So I've been keeping busy, man, and just trying to be as into the community as I can and get back as much as I can. So it's been really special and fun for me to kind of like come back and, you know, just like you said, give back to the community that, you know, was so great to me.
Well, Justin, I always love having you on the show. I think the first time you were on, you were playing for the Golden Bears, and we've caught up with you throughout your pro career as well. So I really appreciate that. You always got a lot of energy. You're always really positive. And I'm just I'm just really happy you got to have that weekend with the Grey Cup. I mean, just hearing you tell the story was a pleasure for me to listen to, and I'm sure for the audience as well. So good for you for that. And, we'll talk down the road, man. Enjoy the rest of the offseason, and all the best with the Alouettes.
Thanks a lot, Reed, man. It's honestly a big time pleasure. Anytime I get to talk to you, it means a lot to me. I've always listened to you. So, you know, you having me on is always amazing. So, like you said, I appreciate that and all the best to you as well. And hopefully we'll talk soon.
Right on. That means a lot to me as well. That is Justin Lawrence checking in now from the Montreal Alouettes, a former U of A Golden Bear from Spruce Grove and a Grey Cup champion with the Toronto Argos. Man, oh man, what a weekend with the Cup, Kellen. Jeez.
And if
that doesn't make people listening like Justin Lawrence, I don't know. You must have a heart of stone or something. Man, oh, man. What an incredible weekend.
Indeed.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick timeout. You can still chime in quickly if you want at 780-496-0063. We'll take a final look at the scoreboard, too. It's Inside Sports on Chet.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
For all the news and expert opinion. Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 Chad.
Championship game of the World Baseball Classic. Top of the seventh, Japan leading the United States 3-1. Def Leppard, Armageddon It coming back from break. If you've listened to this show with any regularity over the years, you will know that Def Leppard is my favorite band. Well, the drummer for Def Leppard recovering from a violent attack in South Florida.
Rick Allen, who was in South Florida to perform a show at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, was attacked while taking a smoke break outside the Four Seasons Hotel on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Police arrested a 19-year-old man but said they don't have a motive for the attack. Police said the assailant was hiding behind a column outside the hotel and ran at Allen, knocking him to the ground. According to the police report, a woman saw Allen fall and ran to help him. The man then attacked her. He was arrested on charges including abusing an elderly or disabled adult. Allen lost his left arm in an accident in 1984. I'm Norman Hall.
Man, that's crazy. Well, it sounds like he's going to be okay, but that's obviously scary. You're standing there having a smoke, and all of a sudden you're down on the ground with a violent attack. So Rick Allen, man, oh, man, he's overcome a lot, so I'm sure he'll get through this for sure. 780-496-0063. Thanks a lot for checking out the show tonight. Love having Justin Lawrence on. Matt Fontaine, captain of the Golden Bears hockey team, filled us in on the national tournament, the no handshake story, and reflected on their season. And, of course, Luke Gazdick was on earlier as well. He is on every 2 weeks, and he's been a blast to have on the show. Kellen, I got to ask you something.
Yeah.
You are my pretty much only connection to the wild world of professional wrestling.
Yes,
is
sir.
It almost WrestleMania time?
Almost. Next weekend.
So the first weekend in April.
Yes.
And where is it this year?
It is in Los Angeles at the SoFi Stadium in Inglewood.
Are you going this year? Because you've gone a couple times in the past.
No. I'll be watching from home this year for this one. So.
Okay. What is the main event? Have they announced that?
They've got Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for the WWE Universal Championship. I think that's going to be on night two. It's a two-night event, because, so it's Saturday and Sunday.
Because
right?
The World Championship isn't enough. He's the champion of the entire universe.
Well, he's got both belts. He's got Universal WWE titles.
There's some alien on some distant planet who's really irritated because he wants to fight for the Universal
Championship. You know, that's what we were thinking, too, when they made this first, you know, announcement and that stuff. But so far, nobody from outside of Earth's orbit has come to challenge this thing.
Right.
So.
Well, it takes a while for messages and light to travel throughout space.
Yeah.
The Blue Jackets have beaten the Capitals 7-6 in overtime. Ovechkin did score his 40th in that game, 13th 40-goal season, surpassing Gretzky for the most all-time. Roslovich got the game winner, his ninth, 243 into the extra session as the Blue Jackets had to tie it. Boone Jenner with 47 seconds left in the third. Hurricanes beat the Rangers 3-2. Teravainen got the game winner. Flyers knock off the Panthers 6-3. The Wild beat the Devils 2-1 in overtime. Matt Boldy got the winner, his 23rd, with 2 seconds left in overtime. Predators ring up the Sabres 7-3. Boston hangs on to beat Ottawa 2-1. The Canadiens take out the Lightning 3-2. The Islanders now up 6-2 on the Maple Leafs. Cal Clutterbuck, 2 goals to get up to 6 on the season. 3 goals in the second, 3 in the third for the Islanders there. Jets, big game for them, leading the Coyotes 2-1. Started the third. Also early in the third, Red Wings and Blues 2-2. In the second period, Kraken and Stars, it's 3-1 for Seattle. Another huge one for the Flames. They visit Anaheim in about 10 minutes, and Vegas up atop the Pacific Division with L.A. This is Vegas's game in hand. They're making up on L.A. They play in a few minutes as well against the Vancouver Canucks. Tomorrow, I'll join you at 6 for Inside Sports, 7 o'clock for the face-off show, late one between the Oilers and the Coyotes. Have a good night.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.